The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
There is a magnificent smell in the studio. It's the smell of opened bottles of wine. We have decided to have our annual pre-Christmas tasting. Tomás Clancy, wine correspondent of the Sunday Business Post and Bon Vivor, is with us. And Liam Campbell, wine and drinks writer, wine editor from thetaste.ie. Thank you both very much for joining us here.
Thank you very much,
Matt. Great to be here.
Okay. Now, as I said, there is a lovely aroma in the room. And we're going to go through some of your Christmas recommendations. Now, you're going to start with something that I won't be touching. I am not a fan of sparkling wine.
Yeah, well, sparkling has two or three different... I understand that. And a lot of people don't like sparkling wine because they think it's a bit harsh on their stomach or a bit harsh on their throats. And it does. It has a high acidic content. Wherever thou shalt have unripe grapes with high acidity, thou shalt have sparkling wine. And sparkling wine is... That's why champagne is the king of a capital of sparkling, because it's at the absolute northern limit of where you can get Chardonnay and Pinot Noir to actually mature and ripen.
And it's the acidity, is it, that gives it the different taste?
Yes, the high acidity, which is coming from the from the cold, and also from the fantastic plate of chalk that's underneath it. The White Cliffs of Dover and the Cote Gris, but the White Cliffs of Dover that the Channel carves down and reveals, that's underneath Champagne as well.
Ah.
And where the Marne Valley, where the Marne River is cut down through that, that's where you see the white chalk there. And so what you're getting is the white chalk of that is essentially coming out in Champagne here, like Veuve Clicquot's sort of
now,
yellow
label.
Now,
why have you picked that? Is Champagne not just Champagne? Is it not all the same?
Oh, not at all. There's Champagne, and then there's statistics. So what we have with Champagne is we have, apart from anything else, it's a wine. So there are better and worse terroirs there. There are village level.
What's a terroir?
Terroir is the soil base on which the grapes grow. So the vine puts down, if you see a vine that's about sort of 25 years of age, in fact, and it's only about your shoulder height of an adult in the field, but in fact, about 200 feet down in terms of vines, in terms of the roots that go down. So it's drawing from all of this mineral source that's underneath the soil there. And that, depending on what you have, so some you might have granitic soils, in some places you might have sort of loess, you might have volcanic rock, and depending on what kind of material you have below there, you draw that out, and that's the terroir impact. And so a really good one will have a nice complex thing like a layer cake, and a really okay one will have maybe just one or two types of soil down there to draw from. So Grand Cru, very complicated sort of substrata that these vines are going down through, and a village level, something very plain with a bit of clay on top of it, getting you sort of something
okay.
Regular.
But you see all the brand names in the supermarkets or the off-license or whatever. Why have you picked Veuve Clicquot? Is that how you pronounce
That's
it?
That's right. This is Veuve Clicquot. I've picked this because I think this is one of the most delicate and precise of the... Each champagne house has its own style. So rather like a football team, every football team has its own sort of a panache and swagger and style, and each one is famous for something different. So Dom Perignon likes to go for salinity. The Veuve Clicquot likes to go for precision and elegance and rather leanness, whereas you might get a Bollinger might be a little fatter and a little more biscuity. So you pick which one you like, and that's the way you would approach champagne.
Now, so is it going to be a waste for us to pop this, or will you... Will yourself and Liam manage to actually quaff enough of it?
I am willing to do my
Liam
bit.
Liam is actually sticking... Oh, there it goes. That's a good spill.
It's called research.
You so stuck your hand out with the glass very, very quickly.
Thank you very much.
Years of practice.
That was very, very, very good. Whenever... I would say for anyone now for over the Christmas, what you're looking at, just to have a look at it in your hand.
Okay, that's a particularly big glass. That's a wine glass you're using for champagne. That's not normally the done thing, is it?
It's the absolute most fashionable thing to do this year.
Really?
Is to get them in, because those big flutes of the old days, what they're there to show is the bubbles, and you're basically looking at a big wall of bubbles coming up in a narrow stream.
Yes.
But in fact, we want to emphasize that it's actually a beautiful wine, and to get that, what you want to do is you want to nose it, you want to inhale it and smell it and get those kind of immediate sort of citric, and actually very clearly a nice little sort of brioche note on the top of that. So little warm brioche just in there on the nose. And then a smooth...
It's not
very
too
clean.
Far removed from a Sauvignon Blanc smell, is it?
It's not too far removed. I would think maybe if I could... You know, I
Go
would
on.
Push and say more like a Macon more like a Burgundy. Remember,
okay.
it's only 100 kilometres away from the heart of Burgundy. It's only about 1 hour's drive from Dijon to Champagne.
Okay.
And that's the distance that you're talking about. So if you let that go flat, eventually that would be just a nice Chardonnay for you to actually look at and maybe enjoy. I would say, just on the exploding champagne bottle, the chill is what you want to do. The chill, the colder you'll get it, the less overflow you will have. If you serve a warm sparkling wine, when you pop it open, it will start to gush out in a big thing.
So, Liam, are you a fan of this?
Loving champagne.
Champagne in general, or this particular Veuve Clicquot?
Well, I suppose champagne, the danger is you can put into like a generic category as a sparkling wine. But more than any wine, it's like people in different nationalities. They all have their own personality. They all take their cue from the kind of environment they're in and the different grape varieties. People don't focus too much on, is this mostly Pinot Noir, which will give a more savoury, meaty, masculine character, or Chardonnay, the more feminine, biscuit, green, appley. Or Meunier, that little bit of the jam of the donut, little bit of fruitiness.
How much would that bottle now cost?
This would be €57.
That's a hefty price, isn't it?
It's a good price. It's not the dearest price by any manner of means, but not the cheapest. You can get champagnes that are grower champagnes or cooperative champagnes for around about €20 to €25. They would be like the equivalent of a cooperative here selling wines in that
way. I'm going to stick with you for a moment. You also have what you call party wine, a Prosecco.
Yes.
Now, Prosecco is cheap champagne, isn't it?
I think.
that look of horror in the studio for the two of you.
He rears up in horror. He says,
No. I mean, it's not real. You know, what you're looking at is very different. And what I'm trying to, I suppose, emphasize, this is a beautifully well priced $7.99 from Lidl. And this is the Alini Prosecco.
Treviso, that's an Italian, so is
that's right. So this is
all Prosecco Italian.
All Prosecco is Italian. Okay. It's from the Veneto. Now, you see, that was a screw cap. Screw cap, no drama, and it opens.
And
like
no
that.
Fizz.
But no particular fizz. But you will see it's frizzante. It's lightly bubbled. Now, the difference between this and champagne is very straightforward. First of all, it's very lightly effervescent. So it's frizzante, not spumante or full of big bubbles. The second thing is that it's from the Glera grape. So this is so the champagne is from Chardonnay and is looking at a fine wine ambert, whereas this is from the Glera. And what you're getting here is a little bit of party fizz without giving the sort of the depth that you would get with a Chardonnay. It's also made in a completely different way.
It's not as sharp smelling, is it?
No, it's softer. And I think that's why it's softer and slightly sweeter. It's made through the Charmat method, which essentially they make they can bubble things through it. They can bubble carbon dioxide through it and create the bubbles in that way. But what they do is they ferment it in a tank and create the bubbles, whereas every single bottle of champagne, no matter what the price, they will have closed the lid and it will keep on doing a secondary fermentation, creating the carbon dioxide in the bottle. So it ferments one bottle at a time, and that carbon dioxide then infuses in the water and gives us the bubbles. So it's a very different and much more expensive thing to create a champagne than to create this, which they can create in a big tank.
So that's Prosecco Treviso Frizzante.
Frizzante, that's from Venice, from the Veneto, sort of a hinterland, $7.99 from Lidl. A very good price. You could have a couple of bottles of that, or you could have, five for the price of a nice bottle of champagne. But the champagne is all about what we're about these days, which is less of better.
Okay. White wine, Liam Campbell from thetaste.ie. What have you got for us?
Okay, well, a little echo of the Chardonnay. And I picked a Chardonnay classic for with Christmas in mind. We have a wine from O'Brien's called, by a producer called Olivier. And the wine is from a village called Santenay that do red and white wines. I particularly picked this Burgundy because Burgundy is in the north central part of France between the two gastronomic capitals of Dijon and Lyon. And Chardonnay is named after a tiny village in the region called Chardonnay. So the grape, this is the origin of the species, and then it has global domination as it conquered the world as one of the most popular white wines. If you're to put a personality on it, it's almost like a Meryl Streep actress, a real Oscar winning. She takes direction from climate and soil and environment, and is a total chameleon-like grape variety. We saw it with Tomasa Champagne. It can make a sparkling, classy, elegant, biscuity wine. But here in Burgundy, there is no other agricultural product on the planet other than the wine grape that can transmute and translate the environment, the soil and the winemaking style into the actual wine itself.
So this is called Santenay.
So it's named after the village. And that's quite common in Europe. to name the wine after the town or the village or the parish. It's a bit like in the west of Ireland, I might be the Campbells from Ballyhonest to distinguish me from the Campbells from Swinford. So you had the townland was a distinguishing factor for the wine, and it gave an idea of the personality.
Okay, it doesn't even, I know this is going to be the complete ignorance for me, but I'm like your bog standard bloke going into an off licence occasionally. It doesn't even say Chardonnay on it. You'd have to know it, that it was Chardonnay.
It doesn't. And here's the thing, because they've been making this wine for nearly 1,000 years, they haven't felt the need to put the name of the grape variety, because the French and mainland Europe see the grape variety as just one of the ingredients, one of the actors in the performance, not the solo performer. And therefore, the townland is the real accent. And then the grape variety, like it rarely even appears on the label.
Now this, you love that, Tomasa.
Oh, I love that now.
Okay, this is going to be my ignorance again, right? Yeah. Is it a bit watery?
No. you're wrong, Matt. You're wrong.
See, when you say watery, you're probably thinking, "Oh, where's the aroma?" If you taste it though, this is flirting with you, sort of leading you in gracefully. So you get this hint of hay and grilled nuts and ripe apple, and then when you taste the wine, you have all these different layers of flavour where, like, less is more. It slowly unveils each particular characteristic. So you get the grilled nut, you get the melon, you get the ripe apple, you get some of the salty minerally from the soil. But this particular wine, for me, it's a sleeping beauty, because the name of the wine, you see, is from Le Bivo. Bivo is old French for a beautiful valley. Back in the 1880s, when this dreadful louse infected all of Europe, the vineyards were devastated, and they were totally out of commission for 100 years. So this sleeping beauty, the hillside wasn't planted with vines for a century. And now it's been planted in the 1970s, and it's given you this gorgeous reawakening.
We're going to put a picture up on our website of all this wine on the table so you can see what the various things we're drinking are. I'm not convinced by that now, I have to admit. Sorry about that. How much does it cost?
This wine is a mere €37 from O'Brien's.
Definitely not convinced. It's watery.
Right, he says. Let's fight and talk.
Sorry, okay.
We'll see you in the car park after, okay.
Tomas, what's your red wine going for?
My red wine is a Saint-Emilion. So we're just back to classics. And the thing about the classics is you don't need to explain them too much. So this is a very well-priced Saint-Emilion. It's a Saint-Emilion Grand Cru, and it's actually a Grand Cru Classe.
What does Grand Cru mean? Is that better?
It's a better one. Grand Cru is the description of the classification based usually on the terroir, again, on the soil. So it's all about the soil. It's about the good field. And we have that idea, we understand it in farming in Ireland. So we have good fields and bad fields, and we have productive fields and non-productive fields. The very best productive field, they call the Grand Cru, the not-so-bad ones, Premier Cru, and the you'll get a crop out of it is the village level. And so for Grand Cru Classe, this is a little bit strange in Saint-Emilion. They actually have a contest where they go and they taste them every sort of 10 years, and they decide where they're going to put it in terms of a pitcher level, and this has been one of the ones that's been put in at a good level.
Okay, let's taste it.
Okay.
I've been smelling it, and it smells... it's ripe. Would that be fair to say?
It is ripe. Sorry, can I pass you over that? Liam, have a go.
Thank you.
Okay. This is essentially... you're having a lot of Merlot. You have a lot of Merlot in Saint-Emilion. So Saint-Emilion is on the right bank, the eastern side of Bordeaux. So it's on the other bank of the big river to the places like Pauillac, where Chateau Lynch-Barge would be. This is on the side where you've got Chateau Petrus and Chateau Ausson and things like that. And it's all Merlot-based. And these very expensive wines, the most expensive wines in the world, are actually on this side.
Do you know what? You can leave that bottle there and I'll drink it throughout our American spot with Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown and our music later. Because that's... damn good.
Yes, I think that's not bad at all.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
So that's Chateau L'Armande, Saint-Emilion Grand Cru. And the amazing thing is it's €24. It's been selling for a lot more than that. And it's been picked up by Aldi. So you can get this in Aldi, it's a very fine thing that they operate on. They're able to do this now because if you're other supermarkets, they want to be able to supply this all year long. Whereas Aldi have decided if they can bring it in for a couple of months and people buy it, that's it.
That's cheered me up. It may be breaking all the broadcasting rules, but that's
excellent.
Cheered me up.
Terrific.
Now, your final choice here, what are you calling a meditation wine, Liam?
Yes,
what do you mean by that?
Okay, it sounds a bit pretentious, but actually, the Italians have coined this. It's called Vini di Meditazione, meditation wines. And it's because the alcohol is quite high. It's about 15 to 16% alcohol.
Whoa.
So therefore, it's not the wine you have during the meal. As we say, it does both eating and drinking. It's like a meal in itself. because what they've done is it's the most enigmatic kind of wine, and by that I mean it's a total contradiction in taste.
Do you're going for here something that I actually would often drink. I wouldn't have thought as a meditation wine, but often order it in restaurants. A nice Valpolicella. You're going for an okay. Amarone.
Here's the thing. You
don't eat it with meat. Is there?
You've got three different styles. You've got the ordinary Valpolicella, which is on every house wine in the country. Yeah. Italian, easy drinking, cherry fruit goes with everything. Great house wine. Next level up is the Ripasso, which is the big brother with a bit of richness.
Yes.
This is the Arnold Schwarzenegger version. This works out in the gym. This is the 15 to 16% because what they do here is they harvest the grapes maybe 2 weeks prematurely, so they're quite high in acidity, and then they lay them on mats in the loft of the winery for about from harvest time in September to around St. Patrick's Day the following year to dry out and shrivel, and they become raisins. So on the nose you get this gorgeous, like an old leather library book with a bit of dust. And then you get the rich, raisiny fruitiness. And the alcohol is very well behaved. It's like a Rockweiler who's well trained. It knows it's powerful, but it knows not to abuse that power.
That's nice. That is nice. That's a nice...
You would kind of levitate after, but less is more. A little goes a long way, because at the end of the meal, you sit down and you contemplate and sort out the problems of the world with a bit of pecorino cheese.
What about the rest of my radio programme? That is nice. You like that as well, Thomas?
I do love that. And it's very hard to get bad Amarone because it takes so long to make. You're really looking at 5-10 years for a lot of these things. So they're very lengthy.
Price?
Yeah, this wine is from Marks and Sparks for about Marks and Spencer, about €35. So it's widely available. Bear in mind that it's a wine that when they shrivel up the grapes, they've reduced a huge amount of content. So therefore, it's a case of...
I know what's going to happen is we're going to have people now texting into 0874100102 saying, my God, the prices of the things that they're recommending. But you know what? If it's Christmas time and if you can afford to splash out on a good bottle of wine, have a go, because you don't get the kick afterwards. You don't get the hangover like you would with a cheaper bottle of wine, do you?
That's the truth. And the reality is that this is the one time of year where you'll have 6 or 8 people around the table who will appreciate it.
So no, it's all mine. Between 6 or 8 people to share with.
You'll have less wine, but better.
Well, what we've done with both the two wines that I recommended there, the Chardonnay, which was rich and buttery, and you cut your cloth according to measure. Because it's Christmas, it's pushing the boat out, really. It's a time to reward yourself. But in the wine column I have in the Taste in the September edition, I have a whole range of rich buttery wines that at all price points, and the same in the November edition. I have Amarones with the Ripasso as cheap as $9.99 from Aldi. So something
excellent
for everyone.
Tomás Clancy from the Sunday Business Post and Liam Campbell from Taste.ie, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word this evening.
Thank you very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.